God, please. I prayed about reading John chapter 3 and dismissing in prayer this morning. That's what I thought about doing. But I prayed about it a little while back here, and so I'm going to go ahead and do my best to preach what the Lord laid on my heart. You'll allow me to do that. Turn in 1 Kings chapter number 17 with me this morning, and we'll take our text from there. 1 Kings chapter number 17, and in verse number 1, the Bible said, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens that brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass, after a while, that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land." Now may the Lord add his blessing to that. I may touch on a little bit after verse number 7 this morning, but that will be my primary verse of Scripture, okay? But I may mention some things that follow that shortly at the close of the message, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for loving us. We thank you for Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for redeeming sinful souls such as ours. Thank you, Lord, for grace and mercy. Thank you for the privilege to be in the house of God. I do pray your blessings upon your people today. May your name be glorified and honored in everything that is said and done. I pray, Lord, that you grant victory in every heart today to your people. You'll save souls, revive and refresh the hearts of your people. I do pray for those that are away, those that are sick. Bless them and help them. Help those that are traveling. I pray with traveling mercy. I pray for power now and unction to preach the Word of God and liberty this morning. Granted, I pray for your sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. The Bible said in verse number 7 of this chapter, "And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land." Elijah had prophesied that there would not be rain, but according to his word, or not even dew. And sure enough, there it came to pass after a while, because there had been no rain in the land, that the brook dried up. And Elijah found himself there at the brook with no water, and possibly no ravens bringing food, meat, and bread, as they had brought in the past several days. Now, Elijah, at the word of the Lord, has probably spent somewhere in the neighborhood of 1 to 1.5 years in solitude. And according to the Lord's promise, he had drank from that brook, and the ravens had fed him flesh and bread morning and evening. And I want to emphasize one more time before I leave here, and I say it a great deal, that we can depend upon the promises of God. Not one promise in this Bible will ever fail. It's impossible for it to. For if the Bible fails, then God that wrote it is a failure. And it's impossible for our God to fail. There's nothing that shall be impossible with Him. And if all things are possible with Him, then nothing shall fail that He puts His hand to it. And certainly the promise that God made to Elijah, to keep the water in the brook, and to keep the bread and the flesh in the morning and evening, God certainly lived up to that. But the Bible said there after a while that the brook dried up. There had been up to this time no word of direction from the Lord. Now here's Elijah at the brook. It's dried up. There's no more food. And yet there's no direction from God. God hadn't given him, said one word to him about anything. He is there in somewhat of a dilemma. There'd been no rain. I wonder what Elijah was thinking about. Amen. While he was there at that brook and he watched it slowly dry up and then eventually completely dry up and no bread and no flesh, I'm wondering what he's thinking about. Was his faith possibly still as strong as it had been? Or had it slightly begin to waver some? Have you ever been in that position in your own life? When things were going along in a smooth and a wonderful way, and suddenly it seemed like God dried things up in your life.
Amen.
It seemed like the blessings had stopped falling. We sang that song, "The Blessings Are Falling Tonight." And possibly you've been in a time or a place in your life when it seemed like the blessings of God had just stopped falling, and the brook had dried up, and there was no more bread and no more flesh for you to eat. And I wonder if Elijah's faith was still strong or had it begin to waver. As the water ceased to flow in the brook and the ravens brought no more food, how did the prophet respond to that? In what kind of a way did he respond to that? What thoughts seemed to be running through his mind? What would be running through your mind today if suddenly the flow from God was cut off to you?
Amen.
If everything that God had promised to give you, that all of a sudden it come to stop and there was no further word from the Lord. I wonder how you would feel and what kind of thoughts would be running through your mind. Was his heart fearful? Had he begun to live in fear, wondering what the Lord was doing, what had happened? Heaven was brass. The prayers didn't seem to get anywhere. Maybe he grew a little fearful. And possibly even the devil approached him with some dreadful thoughts. You know, sometimes when we get in these places in our life, when we feel like our little brook has dried up, if we're not careful, we will give place to the devil. And allow him to get his foot in the door. And if he gets his foot in the door, I'll tell you, he's going to get more than a foot in if he possibly can. And what he'll do, he'll begin to sow doubts in your mind and my mind alike that God will really do what he says he'll do. And I wonder maybe if the devil didn't get involved in this thing at this time and begin to send some strong temptations into the life of Elijah. Why did you ever follow God in the first place? You ever feel that way? Started going to church in the first place? After all, these people out there are getting along a whole lot better than what I'm getting along, and I'm serving God in the house of God, and they're out in the world in sin, and here I am in the house of God, and yet they're getting along better than what I am. That possibly may have been running through the mind of Elijah at this time. There's people out there that have some food to eat, and God promised me food, and now the brook is dried up, and there's no flesh, and there's no bread, and God hadn't said one word to me about what I'm supposed to do. And so I'm sure the devil's temptations were strong.
Yes.
Elijah, according to John 5:17, Elijah was a man of like passions as you and I are. And so I think we can look at our own lives and draw some conclusions or come to some conclusion to the degree of understanding of the perplexity that Elijah found himself in at this time. You know, I preached a few weeks ago on Elijah in a pickle. And Elijah found himself in a pickle right here that he didn't really know how to get out of. But I wonder, you know, and I think looking at ourselves, we can draw some conclusions as to what was running through the mind of Elijah. There may have been some corrupt imagination. You know, if we're not careful, we'll let our imagination run away with us. You know, we get sick, and we all do it now. I've been guilty. You've been guilty. Say amen. Nod your head up and down. But we'll get sick, and if we're not careful, we'll start believing the devil and his lies, and we'll let every imagination under the sun run through our mind. Why? We might have a stomach ache, but to us, oh, my Lord, I've got stomach cancer. Or we may have a headache, or, oh, my, I just know I've got a tumor on the brain. Or we may wake up some morning with a sore shoulder. Oh, Lord, surely arthritis has invaded my entire body, and I'm going to be in a wheelchair the rest of my life. I'm telling you that if you're not careful, the devil will feed you so many lies. Amen. That's right. And cause so many corrupt imaginations to run through your mind. He'll have you so depressed that you won't want to serve God. And have you so depressed that you won't serve God unless you resist that devil, like the Bible says. Amen. Resist the devil and he will flee from you, is what the Bible says. But there's something before that. You got to submit yourself to God before you ever have the power to resist the devil. And he will flee from you. Have you ever been there? Has your little brook ever dried up? Has your bread ever stopped flowing? And you wondered what on heaven's name was going on in your life? What was taking place in your life? What was going to happen to you next? Where were you going to next? God promised me this now, but it stopped. What is God going to do with me after this is all over with? Brother, I'm telling you, I've been there. You may not have, but you're looking at a preacher that's been there more than one time.
Amen.
And so I'm sure some corrupt imaginations begin to run through his mind. Maybe he thought that God's promise maybe appeared to fail to him. There's no more water. And he might have thought, well, now God promised me this, and now the brook's dried up. Oh, listen, children. We'll all find ourselves in that way. I've read the Bible. And here's what God says in that Bible. But if it's true what it says in that Bible, God promised me that in the book. Why am I living where I'm living right now? Why am I at where I'm at right now? I want to say, hey, lift up your eyes, children. Don't look down. Look on down the road, because God has given you the promise that the brook has got something waiting on you on down the road that will bless you in there a greater way than you've been blessed while you've been spending time at the brook. Amen. If the brook dries up, God's got something else in store for you. Hallelujah to God. Amen. People have lost their job. Their brook dried up. You wonder, what on earth? A lot of you lost your job and you rocked for about 3 or 4 years. Amen. You kind of like that, didn't you? But sometimes folks lose their job. I mean, you look at America today. They almost base everything on their job. And I know a man needs a job. He's got a supply for his family. But I'm going to tell you what. I don't look to my employer. I look to God to supply my needs. Amen. Thank God. Because if one employer fails, I'll tell you what. If you're saved by the grace of God, God's got another down the road waiting to give you a job that'll put flesh on your table and give you water to drink. Amen. And bless you with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Just because your little brook dries up don't mean God's dead. God's still alive. Amen. Amen. That's right. Now, he might have thought, well, he had preserved me all this long, and now it appears to be he's forsaken me. He preserved me all this time, and now he's left me. Oh, and I'm going to tell you, that's a battle to be fought when you get old. I said I can draw some thoughts from us, because he's a man of like passions as we are. I don't know how old Elijah was at this time, but I'm going to tell you, I've sat over in that green chair a whole lot. And I thought, well, God's brought me this far, but I'm afraid this is the end of the line. He's left me now. God departed. Well, no more joy. Church will never have revival. Church will never see the power of God. Church will never see the blessing of God. God's left me. God's forsaken me. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm reminded what that Bible said. And God said, I'll never fail thee, and neither will I ever forsake thee. Amen. I'm going to tell you, the God that saved you sealed you into the day of redemption. And he is not about to forsake you now. Thank God. He'll walk through the valley with you and through the dark times. Amen. He'll walk with you when the brook dries up. He'll walk with you down in the desert places and through the wilderness. Yes, sir. He'll walk with you through the battles and the fights you have with the devil. He'll walk with you when you triumph over the flesh. God will walk with his people, thank God, and supply for us when our little brook dries up. God's got another brook waiting somewhere. If you think all he's got is one river, you're crazy. You hear what I said now? I won't repeat it. If you think all he's got's one river, you're crazy. He said in the book of John about those that are saved, out of their belly shall flow rivers, plural, rivers of living water, amen. I'm going to tell you, hey, here's Elijah living by the brook. He ain't even seen the river yet. Folks, we ain't even seen the river yet. Praise God, we just drank it out of a little brook. And I'm going to tell you, there's a river on the way, hallelujah. A river of living water that never shall run dry for you and I that are saved by the grace of God. Amen, that's right. Now, he probably thought, where is the Lord God of Israel? Like Elisha thought, said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? He may have thought, where is the Lord God of Israel? He's led me out here and got me in this place and forsaken me. And now here I am, the brook's dried up. The ravens have stopped flying over. And I've not had any word from God. What am I going to do now? May I say this right at this point? Whether you're a preacher or whether you're just a person, whether you're just a member of the church, don't go anywhere till God tells you to go, friend. I'm going to tell you, there have been a whole lot of people jump ship, and they're shipwrecked. I want to say, stay in the boat. Amen. Stay in the boat where you're at. Unless God tells you to leave. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're in a church that preaches the gospel, amen, and rightly divides that book and preaches to you and your family and tells you how you ought to live in order to keep your children in your household, amen, and have the joy of the Lord in your heart, God will never tell you to leave that place. Oh, God told me and my family to go down so-and-so. Well, go on. And I'm going to tell you, you may run into a lot of trouble when you get down there. You know why? Somebody said, well, the devil's in this place. I got news for you. He's in that place down there too.
Amen.
Amen. And if he is in this place, we ought to rejoice over it.
Amen.
That tells me, if he's in this place, that tells me, praise God, that we're doing something right or he wouldn't be here. He don't go places where things are going wrong. He goes places where they're going right to try to make them go wrong.
Amen.
Amen. Kick him in the seat of the britches. Bless God. Out the front door. No, don't kick him out the front door. I don't want anybody to see that horned, headed looking devil, long tailed egg sucker. Kick him out the back door. Amen.
Amen.
That in back there. Kick him over in Cross Creek.
Amen.
Not the apartments now, the creek. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Kick him out the door. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If he's in your house, kick him out that door.
Elijah
may have thought, have I sinned against God?
Right.
And I'm no longer a prophet?
Yeah.
Have I done something wrong and God's
Amen.
Taken the mantle from me? Oh, some of you don't know anything about what I'm talking about.
Amen.
But if you've ever been called to preach, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, there come times in your life when you wonder when things ain't going right. Have I lost the mantle?
Come on.
Have I lost the power?
Come on.
Have I lost this presence? Has God hid himself from me? I want to say to you, if he has hid himself, I'll tell you what to do. Go look for him. Amen. You'll find him when you seek him with all of your heart. You will find him. I promise you that. When you look with all of your heart, you'll find God. In fact, he'll make it easy to find.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. Thank God. Have I been deserted? Has God deserted me? The temptation to believe false motives and foolish thoughts of God may have been very near. To which if he had yielded to it, now listen carefully to what I'm going to say to you. If Elijah had yielded to those thoughts that I just spoke to you about, God's gone, God's forsaken me. Had he yielded all that, when he yielded all that, his faith and his confidence in God would have dried up just like the brook did.
Amen.
Buddy, I'm telling you, you can't give the flesh or the devil 1 inch of ground. Hey, amen, if your brook dries up, it may cause your faith to want to dry up on God. Don't let your faith, amen, no. You put your faith, your confidence, your trust in God, and I'll guarantee you, God will see you all the way through this thing from point A to point B. Hallelujah to God. Don't you let the devil cause you to lose your confidence and your faith in God. But I'm telling you, if Elijah had have done what the devil wanted him to do, he'd have lost all faith and all confidence. If he'd have yielded to that, he'd have lost that faith and that confidence that he had in God. Now, I won't say number two, and I won't be very much. I'm going to preach most of the message. Not only his corrupt imagination, but his comfort was interrupted. He got pretty comfortable down there at the brook. Praise God. I'm telling you, if all I got to do is sit down at the table and what, let somebody wait on me hand and foot. He didn't even have to prepare it. Here he is a bachelor for a year and a half or so, and he didn't even have to cook a meal. He didn't even have to use one of them, what do you call them? The TV dinners. I call them radio dinners. Amen. There's no one calling them a TV dinner, radio dinner. Amen, Preacher Hall. That's right. He didn't even have to heat up. He didn't even have to heat up one of them. God took care of him. Amen. He got comfortable. He got comfortable, and all of a sudden his comfort was interrupted. Whoa, hey, what's going on here? You mean I may have to go out here and scratch around and find a fishing hole and fish in? He couldn't do that. There wasn't no water. Now I might have to go out here and scratch the ground and grow some corn for meal. Couldn't do that. There wasn't no water. Are you listening? His comfort was totally interrupted. Hey, he found himself in a place where there was nothing for him to do but sit there and wait on God to move for him. Amen, Brother Hall. That's right. And so his comfort was interrupted. His hope maybe had been disturbed just a little bit. That hope, you know, and may have just been disturbed, hoping in God to do something for him. That may have been interrupted a little bit. His joy may have been turned to mourning. Have you ever been there when God's been real good to you, boy? You're riding on cloud nine, you're just grinning and smiling, and you get one telephone call, and you go from this to this. You walk in to the time clock Monday morning with a grin like this, and there's a pink slip in your slot. And it goes to this. Or you come home someday, and that baby of yours has suddenly grown up, has been in a fight with mama, and you come home listening to WSOF and preaching, and you're just singing and shouting, and they're like this. When you walk in the house, your wife says, "You ought to talk to that boy!" And not once. That joy is gone. Old Elijah, he lost his comfort. And I'd be willing to say that he lost that joy right along with it. Yay. Amen. You know why I say that? No bread, no flesh, no water. That represented the presence of God, but it was gone, 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 ladies and gentlemen. Now I guarantee you that his joy was gone with it. Now his pathway of life was unknown to him. Where am I going next? Oh, Lord, I'm not near as done as I thought I was. Where am I going next? The brook's dried up. Where am I going? But the word of the Lord was his trust. Amen. He had not forgotten. Listen now, we're getting positive now. He had not forgotten that God that said, "Go hide thyself by the brook Cherith." He hadn't forgotten that God. And I'll guarantee you there was enough faith in old Elijah that if, God told him to go hide, and he did. And God provided all that time. That just added fuel to his fire. I'm sure he said, "Praise God. Amen. It may be a little rough right now, but I know before it gets so rough I can't take it, God will come on the scene one more time. I'm here to tell you, God will come on the scene at Island Ford Baptist Church one more time. God ain't done with his people. Thank God they still a power and a presence to come and a revival to come, and we know nothing about in our hearts. Amen. There's a joy ready to come to your home you know nothing about. There's blessings getting ready to fall that you've never had before in your life. Somebody said, "How do you know that?" Because I know God. That's how I know that. He will not always chide with his people. Amen. You know what I just read where God told through the prophet Jeremiah, said all these people, said my people, wherever they're at, said, I want you to dig up their bones, the princes, the priests, the king, dig up their bones and lay them out before the sun and the moon. Said they've worshipped the sun and the moon. Said they've bowed down to them. They've done this, they've done that. Said just put their bones and scatter them out. Said don't bury them. Said let them lay out there and just let them turn to dung. Because they're absolutely worth nothing. You said, well, God's done with His people. God forbid. God forbid. He's not done with His people. Oh, no, there's still a remnant of them, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I'm going to tell you, God, one of these days, amen, that valley of dry bones will come alive again. Oh, yes, those dispersed around the world will come again into that little nation we call Israel. And they're there. And I'm going to tell you what, they're going to stay there. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I'm going, hey, we ought to pray for the Jews. Amen. They're God's people. They are God's people. The apple of His eye. We ought to pray for them. Thank God. I believe God has blessed us. We pray a little more for the Jews. Hallelujah to God. Amen. They're God's chosen people. Amen. Now, he still trusted in that word. He was silent before God in humble faith. You'll never read where Elijah in there said one word against God. He just very silently and humbly kept believing God. In faith, he just waited on God. He just kept waiting on God. That's right. By faith, he crucified the flesh with the lusts and the affections thereof. And here's what he said. He said, Lord, I know one thing. You called me here. And I know two things. Whatever you do with me here is your good pleasure. Amen. And if it's your good pleasure, it ought to be all right with me. You see, that's where we're wrong. Amen. That's exactly what Brother Gray was teaching on in Sunday school this morning. It's not what God wants for us. It's what we want for us. By the way, that is called selfishness. Hey, that's called living for self. Doing what self wants to do. Hey, we need to stop living for self and start living for God. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And hey, submitting ourselves to the will of God humbly, whatever our pathway may be for God, submit ourselves to it with joy in our heart. Even if it's a pathway of death. You know why? God never makes a mistake. And he didn't make no mistake with old Elijah either. Amen. That's right. Amen. We like Elijah may sigh when our streams dry up, when our resources seem to be exhausted. How strong would we become if we waited more patiently on the Lord and rested more firmly in His Word? May I say to you, they that wait upon the Lord of what? They'll renew their strength. Amen. They'll mount up with eagles. They'll run, not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. I'm telling you, the very power of God for a child of God is in waiting on Him in the times when they're rough, ladies and gentlemen. That's where the power of God's at. That's where the blessings of God lie, in waiting on Him to do what He wants to do. We should not indulge in feelings of distrust and discontentment. Boy, if we're not careful, we'll let our feelings override our faith. I preached a message years ago on our faith interrogating our feelings. Now I'm going to tell you what, friend. We can't live by feelings. We got to live by faith. And if we indulge in those feelings, we'll begin to distrust God. We'll grow discontent. And we'll take the situation into our own hand. If Elijah had taken the situation into his own hand, it's untelling where he would have wound up. But I'm going to tell you, he did not. He waited on God. And I'm going to say this before I ever get to it. He waited on God. Hey, man. And the word of the Lord came to him again. I've got to have a running spell up here. I'm going to tell you, the word of the Lord came to him again. He spoke once. The man of God waited and praised God. God spoke a second time to him. I'm going to tell you, He spoke to you once, He'll speak to you again, and me likewise. Thank God for a God like that. Amen. That's right. We too often want the rough to be made smooth, and we want the crooked to be made straight. don't we? We want it that way.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you, sometimes our way is going to be rough.
Amen.
The road we travel is going to be a little bit crooked.
That's right.
God ain't always going to make her straight and smooth.
Right.
I'm telling you, we went with my uncle one time to the Indiana State Fair. I was just a little boy. I won't tell you the story about the pony. The fellow was going to give me a horse pony if I could lead it out of his little corral. The little horse followed me right out, and then the man threw the fit. And my Uncle Marvin Harris just about put that on that guy, buddy. He got mad. He cussed. He got real mad. But anyway, he told my daddy coming back, he said, I know this shortcut. And daddy said, now, Marvin, is it a good road? He said, oh, he said, it's straight as a string and smooth as a floor. And I'm going to tell you, a snake would have broke its back on that thing. And you'd have thought you was driving across the Grand Canyon. But I've never been on such a highway in all of my life. My daddy said, Marvin, I said, I ought to get you out of the car and try my best to whoop you. Take a switch to you. My daddy was much older than my Uncle Marvin. He said, have you ever been on this road? He said, no, I just heard about it. Heard it was a shortcut. He said, hey, if you had never been on this road, you oughtn't have never brought us down this road. Now, are you listening to what I'm doing?
Come on.
God ain't ever going to take you down a road that he ain't never been down. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, the road might be rough and it might be crooked, but I'm going to tell you what, it's the best road you can be on, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Sometimes the smooth way is not the best way.
Amen.
The straight way is not the best way. Sometimes them crooked roads and rough roads is the best part of your life.
Amen.
It's in those times God makes a real Christian out of you, a real child of God out of you.
Amen.
That's right. Thank God. Amen. Now, we find out where I'm at here. He got a command to move. The word of the Lord came to him. The book was dried. It was dried up. But help finally arrives. But it didn't arrive with water or refreshments. God didn't send him any White Castles. Amen. He didn't send him any Big Macs, any soda pops. You know what he's saying? Where the help come from? And the word of the Lord came to him saying. But that's where it came from. Amen to God. That is exactly right. The brook dried up and help finally got there, and that help came from the word of God. Amen. Not from being refreshed, but it came from the word of God, what God wanted him to do. And here's what he said. Listen carefully. I've got to hurry here. I've got to hurry. We too often want the rough and the smooth way, but sometimes the crooked and is the best. And the straight, the crooked and the rough is the best for us. And he commanded that brook to dry up. And when it dried up, God finally sent him refreshment. It wasn't with water. And it wasn't with White Castles. It was with the Word of God.
Yeah.
Amen. In verses 8 and 9 is a command to take a long and toilsome journey through a wild and a barren land in the time of great famine and extreme drought. Look what he said. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And you know, that's a marvelous thing. He commanded the ravens to feed him, but he never commanded the brook. The brook flowed naturally. I don't want to leave there until I say this. You know why the brook flowed naturally? It's the type of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God don't have to command the Holy Ghost. He's God.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is God. Hey, He just naturally flows in your life.
Amen.
But He had to command them ravens, and He had to command this widow woman to serve God. And that journey that He was taking was to Zidon. Oh, it was through a wild, barren country, a wilderness country. There he'd been in the wilderness for all that time, was just drinking from a brook. Now God tells him, without water and without food, go to Zidon. So I commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now he put his trust enough in God to believe that one person would supply everything that he needed.
Amen.
And he didn't ask God where she was at. He didn't even say, where will she be when I get there? He just took off. He believed God enough. Hey, if God told him I've commanded her, he thought in his heart, surely I'll find her pretty easy if God has already commanded her to take care of me. And he had. Now that land, you listen to what I'm getting ready to say, that land of Zidon was a land of heathen people enslaved by idolatry. Now I'm going to tell you, the more I read in this book, the more I study and preach to you, idolatry, I'm telling you, is one of the most, it is a grievous sin in the face of God. And if the Bible is full of it, full of it, more than we ever believe, the Bible is full of idolatry. And by the way, it was full of idolatry, and guess whose home it was? Guess who lived there? It was a, who was a Zidonian? I believe, if I recall right, Ahab married a woman named Jezebel, who was a Zidonian. She was from Zidon. So God leads Elijah right in to Jezebel's past and Ahab's past. And by the way, Jezebel's daddy was a tyrant and a man of sin and an ungodly man. And there God said, I want you to go down there. And Elijah may have thought, oh, wait a minute, Lord. You're leading me out of the frying pan into the fire. But God took him right down in the middle of that idolatry. You know why? I got to say this. You know why? Because God took him down there to prepare. Well, let me read this first. Now, I'm just about done. I don't want to get that far ahead of myself. I don't want to get that far ahead of myself. His bitterest enemy, whose father was a tyrant and was in alliance with Ahab. This is difficult to believe, if I can read my writing. But for this very reason, and this very purpose, Elijah had been kept in solitude. He had hid himself. He had prepared himself for the battle to fight with Jezebel. He had a battle to fight with Ahab. He had a battle to fight with the prophets of Baal. And he had a battle to fight with Israel. And God had kept him in solitude all that time. And I'm going to tell you something. He had a battle to fight with idolatry. Yes, sir, are you listening to me? God said, I'm going to put you down here by the brook. I'll keep you down there about a year and a half, and I'm going to send you down to Zidon, right in the middle of idolatry, buddy, because you got to learn some things. You get right to do battle with it, and you got to learn some things about it. See, sometimes we don't want to go to the hard places. Oh, they're too hard for me. Well, maybe God wants us in the hard places to teach us some things. Teach us how to fight the battle that He's prepared for us. And I guarantee you, He's prepared some battles for every one of us that's saved by the good grace of God. He must find that widow who has been commanded to sustain him. And he finds her, guess what? Right under his enemy's nose. One day, hey, I've commanded a widow woman in Zidon. Now Jezebel's down there. Her reprobate daddy's down there. And Ahab is visiting down there because he wants to take her for a wife. And I'm taking you right in, and idolatry down there, I'm going to take you right in the middle of it. And he commanded a widow woman to sustain him right in the middle of all of it. You know what I think about? I'm about to run my head through a wall. You know what David said in Psalm 23? He prepared the table before me. Where? In the presence of mine enemies. Now I'm telling you, God spread a table. Roll Elijah right in the midst of his enemies. Amen. He sustained him and fed him and took care of him right smack dab in the middle of his enemies.
Amen.
And he made his enemies like it.
That's right.
There wasn't anything they could do about it. God put them down there and there wasn't a thing they could do about it.
Amen.
That's exactly right. Amen. Now, his first journey was in darkness. But I'm going to tell you, when he saw that woman, when he found that woman, the brighter light started to burn, and that day star arose in his heart when he saw that little widow woman out there gathering two sticks, make two cakes and a little bit of water, and for her and her boy, and he's going to eat it, and he's going to die. Amen. And by the way, God sent him to Zarephath.
Amen.
Zarephath means a place of smelting furnaces. That's what it means, a smelting furnace. And I believe God sent him down there to remind us of the furnace of affliction that we're going to have to go through in serving God. And I'm telling you, there is a furnace of affliction if we're going to serve God, ladies and gentlemen. You better say amen to that. And I'm going to tell you, them rough places like the Brook Cherith and like down at Zarephath, God will put you down there, amen, to do what? To purify you. To sanctify you.
to make you a vessel holy and meet for the Master's use. Hallelujah.
He wants to burn the sin and ungodliness out of your life. Sometimes he's got to send you down to the smelting furnace, buddy. Get purified a little bit. Somebody say amen right there. Now, this last point, I see his cautious proceedings. The prophet's route leads him directly into the furnace. Can you believe that? God's command and the pathway he had to take led him directly into the furnace. Wonder what, if that had been you and I, we may have been doing this. I don't know about this. Pretty rough place down there. Some of these missionaries, you'll hear them say, when they come in from the field, well, I couldn't imagine. You just don't realize how rough. You don't realize how rough it is over there. Can I say this to you? Now, I know some of you are going to get mad, but it don't make a flip to me whether you get mad or whether you don't. Sometimes God sends His people, especially His preachers, to places that are hard and difficult. And God knows who's there, and God knows who's going to believe and who's not going to believe. But many times God sends them there not for the purpose of seeing thousands saved, but for the purpose of working in their own life. Amen. I'm telling you, if God saves you, God is concerned about you and your life. Amen. About you being made holy for Him. Hallelujah. For His use. At the same time, be a bright and a shining light to those that are around you. Sow the seed of the Word of God and leave the harvest up to Him. Amen, that's right.
Amen.
Now, that route leads him right into that furnace. But it is a divine direction and the will of God. Old Elijah girds up his loins, says goodbye to the quiet resting place at the brook. Bye-bye.
Amen.
Been a good time being here. I really appreciate the water. You ravens around here, thank you for the food. And I'd like to hang around a little bit longer. But God! God said it's time to go to their path. So I'm going to gird up my loins and head out through this wilderness journey. I know Jezebel's down there and Ahab's down there and all them idolaters are down there. But that's where God told me to go. So I'm on the way. I'm on the way down there. And he departs to a heathen land. The path is rough. Listen, I'm done. The path that God called Elijah to follow was rough. But it was a pathway of holiness. May I say God's interested in our holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. God's interested in our holiness. Out of the brook and into the furnace, God's got him right where he wants him. He's going through that furnace. And when he comes out of it, I'm going to tell you something. He's got some experiences there. But when he gets done with them experiences there, it's not over. God's got some more work for Elijah to do. His work is just started. Let's stand to our feet.